解决纠纷难道只能打官司？不用那么麻烦，上您传授三字诀 ADR 诉讼外纷争解决机制，像是邻居纷争、消费争议、劳资问题或甚至医疗纠纷，都可以利用 ADR 来解决，程序简单有效率，并且不用花大钱，方便、快速又和谐。遇到纠纷选择 ADR， 不必打官司，让你省时又省钱。
以上广告由司法院提供。
Four more people have been linked to a food poisoning cluster originating from a Polim Capitium restaurant in Taipei. All have mild symptoms and are expected to recover. That brings the total number of people involved in the cluster to 22.
One of them is a 40-year-old Malaysian man who developed severe symptoms and had to be put into intensive care. Let's hear from Taipei's Department of Health.
I saw the patient 2 days ago. He was vomiting and felt fatigued, so he went to the hospital. His condition deteriorated very rapidly. He was admitted to the intensive care unit and was put on extracorporeal membrane oxygenation.
很不幸他遇到这样子的事情。他其实是我们国民美食啊，就是一般平时三餐都可能会有人选择的食物。
It's very unfortunate this happened.Char Kway Teow is a delicacy in Malaysia. People eat it for breakfast, lunch and dinner. I miss Malaysian food quite a bit here, so I decided to go to Malaysian restaurants to eat Char Kway Teow and chicken rice.
The food poisoning cluster has been reported by Malaysian media outlets, including the Oriental Daily News and the Sinchu Daily.A recent report says all the ingredients that were used by the Malaysian restaurant to make the problematic fried noodles were imported from Malaysia. Malaysian residents in Taiwan say they hope the incident won't affect Taiwanese people's opinion of Malaysian cuisine. They also say they hope the facts surrounding the cluster will soon come to light.Meanwhile, the Ministry of Health has confirmed that bunkrotic acid is to blame for the death of the two diners in the food poisoning cluster in Taipei.
The acid can have a mortality rate of between 30 and 100%. It is produced by bacteria that grow in foods rich in fatty acids, such as coconuts and corn.
The top priority now is to find where the bunkrotic acid came from. From a macrohistorical perspective, this is the first case of its kind in Taiwan. We shouldn't let the bacteria enter our plant ecosystems.
Speaking on a radio program, infectious disease expert He Meixiang says that although the bunkrotic acid toxin can't be spread from person to person,The bacteria that produces it can grow in the soil under the right conditions.
The bacteria only infects plants. It doesn't infect people. But it can grow in humid environments. It seems that the bacteria has already established itself in China. We hope that the bacteria was found in imported products and not in Taiwan-made products.
Experts from the Ministry of Health and Welfare say bunkrotic acid is a relatively rare toxin produced by the Burkholderia gladioli bacteria, which thrives in foods rich in fatty acids such as coconuts and corn. The toxin can cause severe illness in humans.
In severe cases, all the cells in the body suddenly lose energy and shut down. So severe symptoms include liver failure and metabolic acidosis. The toxin can't be metabolized, so it gets into the patient's head, heart and muscles. They become paralyzed. In just a few hours, within a day, it can cause disease and death. The literature says its mortality rate ranges from 30% to 100%.The bacteria is very picky, so it doesn't easily cause food poisoning. If it does, it's because you have had major problems in your food management.
The Food and Drug Administration says that washing or cooking do not get rid of bunkrotic acid already present in food. The best way to prevent the bacteria from growing in ingredients is to make sure starchy fermented foods are stored properly. With the first case of bunkrotic poisoning, Taiwan is trying to learn lessons to prevent it from happening again.
President Tsai Ing-wen has urged Minister of National Defense Chiu Kuo-chung to remain in his post,after Cho gave his resignation verbally to her on Thursday.
The move comes after allegations emerged that Cho's son, who works at the National Security Bureau, had hired prostitutes and shot pornographic videos. The NSB has begun an investigation into the matter. A presidential spokesperson says Tsai asked Cho to stay on as defense minister in consideration of the state of the nation's affairs during a government transition period. DPP lawmaker Huang Jie inaugurated the Taiwan Parliament Group for Hong Kong on Friday. Amid China's growing attempts to undermine Hong Kong's freedoms, Huang called on the Mainland Affairs Council to prepare for any contingency and help Hong Kongers living in Taiwan integrate into Taiwanese society.
Meanwhile, a Hong Konger noted that China's infiltration tactics in Taiwan were extremely similar to ones the communist power had adopted in Hong Kong. He called on Taiwanese to cherish their democracy and offer support for Hong Kong.
The newly elected Legislative Yuan has once again inaugurated another caucus, the Parliament Group for Hong Kong. DPP lawmaker Huang Jie has succeeded former lawmaker Freddie Lim as its head.
Article 23 of Hong Kong's Basic Law has severely strengthened restrictions on the Hong Kong people's freedom. In face of the future situation in Hong Kong, I hope that Taiwan's Mainland Affairs Council will be prepared to help Hong Kongers integrate into life in Taiwan. We need to let people in Hong Kong know that Taiwan stands with Hong Kong. The group was established in the last legislative term. When Joshua Wong came to me, we didn't only discuss democracy and freedom. We also discussed esports and industries and how lawmakers from both sides could cooperate to promote various kinds of industrial exchanges.
Lim lamented that when the caucus was first established 4 years ago, in the previous legislative term, the situation in Hong Kong was not as serious as it is now. Meanwhile, Hong Kongers living in Taiwan are calling for Taiwan's support, saying that even if the CCP controls the Hong Kong government and its legislative council, its people were working hard to resist China.
The CCP's ways of infiltrating Taiwan are actually very similar to the tactics it has used to infiltrate Hong Kong. We have revised the rules for Hong Kong and Macau residents to study in Taiwan. We've also revised laws on the recruitment and employment of foreign professionals and established an office for exchange of Taiwan-Hong Kong services. Through interministerial meetings, we hope to integrate the central government with local governments, public and private partners, and set up a network that can assist Hong Kongers living in Taiwan.
In the face of authoritarianism, Taiwan and Hong Kong are in similar situations. In addition to taking Hong Kong's treatment as a warning, concerned Taiwanese are continuing to lend a helping hand to help Hong Kong go through its darkest moment.
Projects are at a standstill in Nepal as India and China compete for influence in the Himalayan country.
Meanwhile, the Nepalese people are growing frustrated at the lack of development. Voice of America's Henry Wilkins has more.
These rough, dusty tracks are where the Kathmandu-Terai Expressway was due to be finished this year. But the project that was supposed to link the capital to the country's south is only one quarter of the way done, local media reports say. And officials say it won't be completed until 2027 at the earliest. Residents along the route say they're tired of the lack of progress. Beirun Tama is a farmer. He says,
the faster it is built, the faster the citizens of Nepal can develop. Also, this is an open area. The dust from the current road even makes it into our house. For the cows and animals, the dust gets into their food as well.
Road construction has been held up in a court battle between Indian and Chinese companies who bid for the project. India and China are vying for influence here largely by offering development projects and financing for them. The country is strategically important for both as the Himalayan mountain range, which runs through Nepal, forms a barrier between them. Analysts say Nepal is walking a tightrope to stay neutral.
They just try to work according to their interest. Both the countries put their interest first before serving us. We need to trade consciously while taking any help from them. So we don't want to fall in their geopolitical quagmire.
Pokhara International Airport serves one of Nepal's tourism hotspots. It was built by Chinese contractors with Chinese financing and opened in January 2023. It's yet to welcome any scheduled international flights, however. Local media say India is dragging its heels in allowing flights to go there because of the airport's Chinese connections. Politicians say that India is a more natural partner for Nepal.
We are situated in between two giant countries, so we have to borrow the technology and resources of both sides. But you know, because of geography, because of history, because of our religions, we are close to India, that we must say. At the same time, our relations with India must not give any negative impact to China.
As Nepal continues the balancing act, this stretch of the ring road around the capital, Kathmandu, recently expanded thanks to a Chinese-Nepali joint project.
Now shoe shops, hotels, cell phone shops have all opened here.
As delays to other projects continue, so too does India and China's battle for hearts, minds and roads in Nepal. Henry Wilkins, VOA News, Kathmandu, Nepal.
The Taipei Electrical Appliances Expo has kicked off with the latest home appliances on display. The big themes this year? Artificial intelligence and energy efficiency.
Among other innovations, there are air conditioning systems connected to mobile apps and fridges with low energy consumption that help with savings when it comes to electricity bills.
President Tsai Ing-wen, Premier Chen Jianren, and Presidential Office Secretary General Lin Jialong inaugurate the Taipei 2024 Electrical Appliances Expo.
As you all know, in just over a month, I'll be moving home. So today I didn't just come here to give you all my best wishes. I'm also here to look for things I need. I might consider some of these state-of-the-art appliances. I heard that this expo has appliances with the smartest features, lowest carbon emissions, and most innovative breakthroughs. So I will definitely have a look around the exhibits to find a good sound system to listen to music back in my office after May 20th. If it gets really hot in summer, you can use the mobile app to turn on the AC for your six pets at home.
The mention of her pets brought out a smile from Tsai, who walked around the floor looking at the latest home appliances. Several companies have put out smart air conditioning units that can be controlled remotely via a mobile app. They also include a power saving mode to keep electricity bills as low as possible. With electricity prices set to go up on April 1st, industry players are hoping to attract buyers with low-consumption appliances. They say products with high energy efficiency ratings are best.
It automatically adjusts its power consumption by controlling the time it turns its compressor on and off to achieve the highest energy efficiency. All of the appliances we are showcasing have the top energy efficiency rating in line with the government's 2025 standards. We expect sales this year to be 20% to 30% higher than before. We're estimating at around 2 billion NT in sales.
The key concepts in this year's exhibition are artificial intelligence and energy efficiency. With summer frost approaching, buyers can take advantage of government subsidies to save up to 5,000 NT, thanks to appliance replacement programs and tax waivers.
President-elect Lai Ching-te continues on his two-month tour of Taiwan's various industries. On Friday, Lai met with representatives from travel companies and startups.
The key focus of the meeting was finding ways to develop Taiwan's brand in the tourism sector, as well as using digital technologies in the industry. Let's hear from him.
Taiwan should become a tourism powerhouse. People should see Taiwan, fall in love with Taiwan, and talk to others about Taiwan. My idea is to make tourism a key issue for the central government. That's the only way that tourism promotion can go ahead smoothly. During his speech, Vice President Lai kept mentioning that Taiwan should build up its tourism industry. I think that's a great direction to go in.
Digital
Digital platforms allow tourists the right to choose how they want to travel. They can pick what they want to do and where they want to go using an app. If we work on the South Korean and Japanese markets, we can also export Taiwan's digital products.
Lai laid out a vision to develop Taiwan's tourism sector through combining resources from across Taiwan. He also hopes to boost the tourism startup scene by working together with entrepreneurs to put Taiwan on the map. The Red Ball Project, which is known as the world's longest-running street artwork, rolled into Tainan on Friday.
Each day, the giant red ball will pop up in a different place at various historic and scenic sites in the city. Its first stop was Jieguanting Arch, attracting nearly 1,000 people snapping photos.
A huge red ball bulges under the Jieguanting Arch, a designated historic site in Tainan City. The arch was completely taken up with the bowl, which is part of a world-famous traveling street artwork called the Red Bull Project.
The Red Bull has finally come to Tainan, the second city in Taiwan that it visits after its first visit a really long time ago. The Red Bull is behind me for everyone to enjoy. You can touch it and hug it, but don't hurt it.
The Red Bull Project first came to Taipei more than 10 years ago, and this is the second time it's come to Taiwan. It's making an appearance each day for 10 days at different scenic and historical attractions in Tainan, allowing the public to see the city from a new perspective. The 10 exhibition sites were personally selected by the artist, Kurt Perschkel.
When you're driving around, stuck in traffic, you will see a spot and think, that would be good. And for me, that's also what the project is about, is the sense of imagination to see your own city in a new way.
The combination of a bright red ball and historic building made for a unique and interesting scene. On the first day of the ball's travels in Tainan, nearly 1,000 people came to the venue to snap shots.
It's really special. It's a mix of East and West.
Unlike many artworks, the Red Bull can be touched. It can mold into any space and adapt to the site's environment and weather. If needed, it can be deflated a little to avoid damaging historic buildings. The daily appearances in different locations are expected to bring crowds all over Tainan.
If I have time, I might go see it every day, because all the places are iconic Tainan buildings.
People who follow the Red Bull around the city will get an overview of Tainan's 400 years of history with a fresh perspective.
Once again, it's firefly season. The Taipei City Government has unveiled a variety of activities and locations for firefly gazing from April till May.
You could catch a glimpse of fireflies at Zhuzihu on Yangmingshan, Rongxing Garden Park, Da'an Forest Park, and other locations. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang has the details.
Firefly viewing season in Taipei is underway. Da'an Forest Park will hold a series of guided tours in Mandarin, Japanese, and English. To celebrate Da'an Forest Park's 30th anniversary, the park is offering DIY courses. Friends of Da'an Forest Park Yang Pingshi says that there will be lots of fireflies this year due to the warmer winter.
Beginning from 6:30 for firefly watching. You can gather here, maybe a lot of volunteer to interpret about firefly. Last winter warmer, so maybe early emerge of firefly.
In Taipei, you can also catch a glimpse of fireflies at Yangmingshan's Zhuzihu, Taipei Zoo, Shilin Residence, Rongxing Garden, Tiger Mountain, and other places. This year, the starry spectacle of fireflies will peak around April 15th.
But from April 1st, it can, year long, it can maybe some firefly emerge. Yeah. Best time is from April 15 to the end of May, of April. Yeah. The best season It's about 2 or 3 weeks.
Some of the activities require registration. Visitors can sign up on the official website of Taipei City's Parks and Streetlights Office. Visitors are reminded to not disturb the fireflies by taking photos with flash, using flashlights, or wearing light-emitting equipment. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Hu Chong-en in Taipei.
Transport in Geelong is getting a fresh look as the city invites corporate sponsorship for some of its new bus stops. A stop across from Geelong's iconic Zhengbing fishing port has been made up like a hot dog stand.
Another has a technological theme. Geelong's deputy mayor explained the project aims to drive tourist growth and bring fresh excitement to the port city.
Bright colors and a big sign promising hot dogs and burgers. Despite the classic neon orange chairs, this is not an American diner. It's a bus stop. Here on Geelong's Heping Island, it's a new landmark for selfies at the famous Zhengbing fishing port.
We think that companies using ESG concepts can guide not just how the public sees the environment, but more importantly, it can drive, we hope this will drive growth in the whole surrounding area.
This very special bus stop was sponsored by Taiwan Farm Industry Co. Inspired by a hot dog stand, the back of the stop incorporates elements of local Geelong culture, as well as a diagram explaining the different cuts of pork. Geelong City is encouraging corporate sponsorship of public infrastructure. Already in full swing, the project is bringing unique local flavor to the built environment. This bus stop in front of the City God Temple has a backboard with City God Temple in gray and white, a very technological style. The enlarged stop makes waiting for a bus more comfortable than ever and gives the stop a distinctive character.
I hope Geelong can become an international city. We think that letting companies sponsor stops brings in their creativity because everyone has their own creativity. It makes Geelong more beautiful. We have 3 sponsored stops in Geelong so far, and we're creating 5 more, so we expect to have 8 completed by the end of May.
Geelong is inviting private companies to sponsor bus stops and bring in local color to brighten up the city for everyone.